You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com. Hey everyone, welcome to KoopaCast number 62. Today we're going to be talking all about indies and amiibos. I'm your host this time around, Matt Paxton, the multimedia manager, and I am joined by the ever-present Justin Sharp.
Good to be here.
And we will be having a series of intense one-on-one discussions as we talk about these subjects. Before we begin, I'd like to remind everyone that if you want to ask us any questions, you can always leave us a comment on our website, purenintendo.com. You'll see a post that says KoopaCast62. You can leave your comment there. If you have a Google account, you can always go to our Google Plus page, and you'll see our Hangout. Use our Q&A app that we have installed on our Hangouts, and we'll read them live on air. You can also ask us questions via Twitter. All you have to do is tweet purely_Matt using the hashtag KoopaCast. All right, and just to get right into it, we were actually talking a little bit before the KoopaCast started about just the abundance of indies that we're seeing, just a little bit more emphasis and a little bit more hope for these indies here. If you go on to purenintendo.com, you can see Nintendo has announced a list of like the various indie titles that will be coming out for both the Wii U and the 3DS for 2015, and it's actually quite an extensive list. And you know, it's not just like you know, console exclusives. We're seeing some bigger, heavier hitters. Like Justin, what you said like heavier, bigger games. I guess what comes to my mind is like Star Wars on here. Space Hulk is on here. Let's see what else.
Yeah, I know I mentioned Badland, which was very popular on iOS, I know, this past year. They're doing a Game of the Year edition apparently now. Ollie Ollie is another one. Apparently the sequel to that just came out, Ollie Ollie 2. And it's I haven't really played it, but it looks like it's kind of a, you know, really fast-playing skateboarding game, but not like a Tony Hawk game, just a little more simplistic.
And it looks like Trine Enhanced Edition as well is coming later this month.
Yeah, interesting. Trine Enchanted Edition. I wonder if that's a remake of the first game, because Trine 2 came out on the Wii U already. So maybe this is like, hey, let's get the first one revamped and remastered and put it on.
It could be. And it's really interesting to see because, you know, we have Nintendo games and now we have indie games. And if anyone remembers, like, when Dan Adelman was a part of Nintendo, he really kind of spearheaded this Nintendo indie project, you know, trying to get indies involved. And definitely a lot did. And it looks like, even though he's left, that Nintendo is keeping up with that relationship with indies. And, you know, more and more are coming in. And, you know, a lot of them are starting to say that, you know, Nintendo is a good place to, you know, have indies on here, not only because of the relationship, but also because it's not as cluttered here on the Wii U eShop as opposed to, like, the iOS or, like, you know, the PlayStation Store or PlayStation Online or Xbox Live. You know, so that seems to be attracting a lot of people here. So, you know, this seems like, you know, you think this is a good, you know, momentum for indies to have?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I think they can make a mark for themselves on the eShop. Like you said, and there's not a whole lot of saturation on the eShop right now. And you look at just like consoles and handhelds in general. I mean, in the past, most consoles or handhelds had at most, maybe a few hundred games by the time they, go through their 5-year cycle. Some have more. I think Super Nintendo ended up with like 800 or 1100 or something like that. Some of the systems that have a little bit longer life or were more popular have, pretty large libraries, but still, it's not near. I mean, you talk about iOS and Android. I mean, how many games are on those app stores? Like, it's not measured in hundreds, it's like thousands.
Yeah, to thousands, ten thousands.
Yeah, so you may have like, I think Apple is so dumb when they do this, but they just like, like, hey, we have all these numbers. They're all about quantity and not necessarily quality. So like every time they tout about, their games or whatever, they're like, we have over, 100,000 game titles available on iOS. It's like you probably like a fifth of those are Flappy Bird clones and Angry Bird clones, and it's like if you want to go for quantity, sure, yeah, you've got quantity, but I would think most people would laugh at the quality of a majority of those.
Yeah, and the quality for a lot of these indie games are pretty good.
Yeah.
I definitely say. I kind of wish we had Trevor on here to talk about this, but he's got some technological issues going on. But he's one of our like main reviewers for indie titles. I guess one of the more recent ones that I saw was was Maze. And if you go on purenintendo.com, we have the Maze review up there right now via our Let's Play. And that's not just me trying to plug our own stuff.
Yeah,
Please go
no.
watch that though.
Yeah, he always works really well with the indies, and and it's nice because a lot of those games do get under the radar. There's a lot of games that release on the eShop every week that not many people care about very much, or there's not a whole lot of fanfare, new trailers, press releases. It's you get the Nintendo download every Thursday, and that press release, there's usually like five titles that are just kind of buried in there that are like, oh, also new this week. And it's usually, titles that most people have never heard of until Trevor reviews it or someone gives it some coverage. So it's cool to give them some good coverage on the games, and they're on the eShop just like everybody else, so.
And do you think Nintendo should like work a little bit more to try to get these indies a little bit more spotlight?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think they're doing a pretty good job. I still think there is like a curated, I don't want to say like a clique, group of games that Nintendo's like, oh, this is the cream of the indie crop, and we're going to feature those in our trailers and stuff like that. But I do think there are those that get left out. But I mean, for the most part, Nintendo does a good job. I think in the last Direct, they had like an eShop sizzle reel where they showed like 5 to 10 seconds of a bunch of indie games, and they showed quite a bit. I mean, games that I hadn't even heard of were kind of like mentioned in there briefly, and so I think they're doing a good job to get some of those games some press. And I think one of the best things Nintendo does is when games come out on the eShop, they kind of limit the number of games that are coming out. Now, in some cases that's bad because people are like, well, why don't you have more virtual console games or more games coming out every week? But I think it's good that they limit it to usually it's like a maximum of like 10 games a week. Because when you load up your Wii U, whatever new games came out that week, you see like their icons featured when you first boot up the system. So it's hard to miss. Even like weird games, which I say it's a weird game, I haven't played it, but like Meme Run, or like some of those like lesser known titles are like front and center with Mario, the Netflix channel, at least on my Wii U when I booted up. So, and I think this last week when they released all of the Donkey Kong Country games on Virtual Console, all three of those are on. my home screen, you know, when I boot up the Wii U. So I think that does a lot because, I mean, you have, what, 10 million people booting up their Wii U's, you know, around the world. So that's pretty good marketing for indie developers.
I'd actually like to see like an indie Nintendo Direct, like an indie exclusive Nintendo Direct.
Ah, yeah.
It doesn't have to be as long. It doesn't have to be like this 45-minute affair. But like, you know, a good like, you know, 20, 30 minutes on like, you know, some indies. And yeah, just quick interviews to like give them a chance to show off what they have. And, you know, here's the developer. They're talking about it. Okay, cut to the reel. Okay, here's the gameplay. Okay, great. And then they can, you know, it'll be out at, you know, Q2 or Q3 2015, you know, and then we can move on to the next game. And, you know, it may be only, you know, 30 seconds, but, you know, that's, you know, a lot more than they had before, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would be great. I think they've done stuff like that where they've focused on some games, but I don't know if they've done, like, a full indie one. But, yeah, that would be really cool. And I think, you know, it really stinks that Nintendo has lost a lot of the third-party support on the Wii U. You know, like big third parties, like, you know, Ubisoft, EA, Activision, you know, stuff, big companies like that. And I wish Nintendo would, I mean, it's not a big deal, but at the same time it is, you know, you don't want to have, you know, because it seems like their third-party support with the Wii U is even worse than some of their past systems, and we used to think those were bad, you know? We're like, oh, the Wii just gets these, you know, terrible ports, you know? And the Wii was the number one selling system last generation, but we still got, like, you know, ports of, like, Call of Duty games that were okay, but, you know, they were definitely, you know, not like the 360 and PS3 versions. And then, you know, the GameCube didn't have the greatest third-party support, but looking back now, it had, like, Need for Speed, it had a lot of EA games, it had a lot of, I mean, if, you know, the GameCube almost had the best third-party support of Nintendo last two Nintendo consoles.
I could totally see that. Or, I think most of the Nintendo consoles, like,
yeah,
unless you go, like, all the way back to, like, Super Nintendo, I think, yeah, you're right, I think the GameCube had the best third-party support.
Yeah, and it's kind of ironic because they kind of went with like a parody approach. They're like, hey, let's be like the other systems, right? I mean, the GameCube was on par graphically with the Xbox and the PlayStation 2 at the time. You know, I would say it was a little bit above the Dreamcast, just like PS2 and Xbox were, and they got pretty much all the games. You know, all the Need for Speeds came over to GameCube, and yet it was the third best-selling system. So maybe Nintendo was like, hey, you know, it's not good to just go for this parity approach. We're lagging behind there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I feel like they're missing out. If they completely just ignore third parties and don't even care to get them back on the Wii U this generation, you know, I find it's going to be even harder the next generation.
Yeah, and it kind of seems increasingly like that's the case because we haven't heard anything from third party since I think I want to say like Platinum Games was
yeah.
the last like you know real third party I can think of that showed well, like Nintendo like put their weight behind.
Yeah, well, and you know Platinum Games, I mean they were you might as well consider them like a second party developer since Nintendo kind of funded it to be exclusive on the Wii U.
That's very true.
The last third party game we had was Watch Dogs, you know, in November, which Ubisoft just kind of, you know, sent to die almost. I mean, they didn't really give it much of a chance, I don't think. But
I gotta be honest, my mind just kind of keeps blocking out Watch Dogs. That never happened. That whole thing never happened.
Yeah. Well, and that's yeah. I mean, part of it is Nintendo's fault, I guess. But I think a big part of it is just Ubisoft's fault. You know, they didn't really want to. You know, spend the time on it, and you know, because I feel like if it came out at the same time as the other Watch Dogs versions last May, it would have done fairly well on the Wii U. It would have found an audience. But 8 months later, you know, when the hype for the game had gone way down, the critical reception, people were kind of, you know, tepid about Watch Dogs. And so consumers bought a lot of it at the launch, but you know, after 7 months, you know, and people had time to, you know, go back and look at the game, they're like, well, it's actually not that great of a game. You know, it's kind of a basic, you know, open world cookie cutter Ubisoft style game. So by the time, you know, the Wii U version rolls around, people are like, well, you know, I played a demo of it here. I'm not really interested anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And, but yeah, I mean, luckily, like, as opposed to third parties, which they do have to like factor in risk and reward when it comes to selling on a system that's, you know, not in as many homes as say the Xbox and the PS4. Mm-hmm. Luckily, like indies, it's a double-sided sword for indies. For one, the sales might be that much more critical, but you know they don't have to drop in as much when it comes to like developing for like these platforms. And that yeah. might be part of like what kind of makes the Wii U, you know, still attractive to them.
Yeah, it's a lower risk, and it's a lower reward, but the risk is lower. So they're willing to, you know, pay for. Well, I mean, you look at Unity made some announcements this week that, you know, that engine that a lot of developers are using to make their Wii U games. Mm-hmm. Unity made, I think they have a free version now. And they have like another one that's like $70 a month or something like that. So I mean, it's very accessible. I mean, you or I could download Unity right now, and you know, in a few months could probably build a basic game. So that's compelling to a lot of developers, you know, indie developers, because they're like, hey, we only spent, you know, maybe $10,000 on this game, and maybe we could make $30,000 or $40,000. You know, it's a modest profit, but you know, it's something that these developers are finding worthwhile. Whereas Ubisoft, they may spend, you know, $2 million on paying programmers to develop a Wii U port, you know, paying for printed copies of the discs and everything to ship out. And, you know, they may be in like $2 or $3 million before the game even, you know, goes on sale.
That's very true. Those lack of physical copies really help out the indies.
Yes, yeah. And, you know, I kind of think that, you know, third parties could get, I don't know, a little creative. I mean, just because you're a big company doesn't mean you have to have a physical version. I mean, you know, it may make sense for them to have both physical and digital just for the amount of money they, you know, pay the developers, the people who are making the game, I guess.
Right.
But it seems like they could have a smaller team, kind of like what they did with Child of Light. That was that digital-only game that Ubisoft released last year.
Right.
I mean, do something like that where it's just a, you know, digital-only game. You know, hopefully it would be cheaper development costs and, you know, maybe make a little bit more.
True. But on the other side of that, that could also be like a perception thing. Like, you know, a big trip, like, it's okay for, like, an indie title. We expect an indie title not to have any kind of physical copies or anything like that. Like, when, when WayForward, they came out with, like, little gold DuckTales. Or I think, like, did Yacht Club Games have, like, a physical Shovel Knight? I know they had the box.
They may have had, like, maybe a Kickstarter, you know, bonus or something, get a physical box or something, but.
Right.
I think, but like, it's all digital.
The physical rewards are like when people look at the indie games, they give out physical rewards. They're like, oh, you know, that's pretty cool. You know, that's like they want that and they think the indies are doing, you know, well and like they have a lot of confidence in their product, you know. And then on the reverse side, like if a big AAA developer, like all of a sudden just says, all right, we're not going to have any physical copies, you know, people might look at that and go, oh, are they in trouble? Like,
yeah, that's true.
I don't know. Are they going downhill? You know, people might not have confidence in that, so they might expect to have that physical disc available on shelves, even though they don't want it.
Mm-hmm. That's true. So yeah, maybe Ubisoft is like, well, that's not worth it if we're not going to do the physical. They're just not going to do it at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And speaking of physical items. We're going to go ahead and move on to our next topic. We're going to talk about the Amiibos.
Yeah.
Now, Justin, I have zero Amiibos. I don't plan on getting any Amiibos. But I feel like even if I did, I wouldn't be able to get one. Have you had any luck with that?
I actually do have a couple amiibo. I have a Mario one and Link. So I just have two of them. I'm not super big on them. So they're not like high up on my list to collect all of them. Mostly because I think Nintendo has, not fully used them to their best potential yet. There's not a whole lot of incentive for me to get them yet. Mostly because I think, things like Disney Infinity and Skylanders are still doing more with their figurines than even Amiibo are with theirs. So that's one thing I'm like, well, I'll wait till Gen 2 or, whatever they do. I wanted Mario and Link just because they're fun figures, and I wanted to play around and at least, check out what people were saying about it.
I'm pretty sure people just buying them. That's it. Like, outside of, like, Alex, I don't think anybody's actually taking their Amiibos out of their boxes.
Yeah, that's true. I have mine out of the box. I've used them for Hyrule Warriors and Smash Brothers and stuff. And they're good build quality. They're fun. The stuff I've been seeing lately, though, it just discourages me because it's like that gold Mario Amiibo that's a retailer exclusive. I don't know. To me, it just seems like, hey, let's create a problem.
Yeah, I knew as soon as I heard that was going to be gone in minutes.
Yeah, and like it seems like Nintendo's like, hey, let's capitalize on this craze and just come out with a bunch of different versions of the same character. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't really cotton to that, but. Because yeah, you're gonna have three Mario figurines in the span of 4 months. Because you have the Smash Brothers Mario, the regular Mario figurine, which is coming out with Mario Party 10, and now you have a gold Mario. So I mean, why not make a silver Mario, a platinum Mario,
Oh, it'll be there.
Yeah.
I don't know what game it'll be with, but it'll be like a platinum Mario. It'll commemorate, whatever anniversary for Mario. What are we coming up on? 31 years?
Yeah, it's got to be past 30.
And so, yeah, I think we'll be seeing definitely more of those Marios. And just Nintendo, they're doing that thing where, you don't have much. We're not going to give you many out there. We're not going to stock all our shelves. So we're going to make it think like we're going to make it seem like it's super rare. And then people just, like, latch onto that. And it works. It absolutely works.
Yeah.
I got this report right here. It's an old report. It's in, like, the end of December. Mm-hmm. It says in just 3 weeks, Nintendo sold 710,000 Amiibos.
Yeah. That one, like, hotcakes. Well, it was kind of funny when I went to get the new 3DS.
Mm-hmm.
When I was lining up for it. The Target people were like, "Are you here for the Rosalina amiibo?" Like they asked, they knew about the Rosalina amiibo before they asked about the new 3DS.
Just out of curiosity, did you ask them like, "Do you have it?" Because you could use a few extra dollars, right?
They did. They actually had two Rosalina amiibo. I didn't get any to sell or anything, but and I don't really care to collect Rosalina, but.
Right. You're not some scalper out there trying to sell it for $200?
No. At least not that. I would scalp something, but not a Rosalina amiibo. But that just seems cruel.
So our official stance is pro-scalping then.
Well, my stance is if people are willing to pay for it, why stand in the way of them paying for it?
That's true. And at this point, I'd like to point out that if you go to our Twitter handles, you'll see on the About section, they'll say, opinions are our own.
Yes, exactly. See? They do not reflect the overall opinions of Pure Nintendo Magazine.
No, they do not.
Yeah. And I know, like, it's pretty easy to say, scalpers are bad, whatever. And for the most part, I think it's true. The people that are selling, like, the Mario Amiibos for $500 and all this stuff is pretty ridiculous, so.
So, I mean, it's working. The scarcity is working. But it just seems frustrating.
Yeah. And it seems like they're creating just an arbitrary scarcity. Like, they could easily, they know how popular these were going to be. I mean, you know, they had to have known that they were going to sell out quickly. So, I don't know. I think part of it is just a stocking issue, but part of it is just, you know, them just underestimating just to create a forced demand. But
right. And I could buy, like, the first wave. Like, Nintendo might have been unsure of the market that they were introducing these to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could see that. But I feel like after the first, like, wave or the first two waves, they would have been like, oh, maybe we should start upping the ante a little bit, like, increase our stocks. But, you know, they don't seem to have done that, and they're just as scarce, and, you know, people are still clawing at them.
Yeah.
I just wonder how long this strategy is going to work, like this strategy of we're going to purposely limit how much we put out there on the shelves.
That's
just not, I mean, Amiibo is like the biggest problem, but that's not just the Amiibos. Like, that's also reflected in like the new 3DS. Like, people are still having trouble finding new 3DSs out there.
Oh yeah. They're still super scarce. And I think a big part of it, there was some sort of strike, wasn't there, on the West Coast?
Yeah, but that it was a strike, on the West Coast, a harbor strike.
Right.
But last I checked, that was resolved.
Okay. So, yeah, so that should be moving now. I heard that it did affect the launch, though, that they didn't have nearly as many units as they had hoped. Because the strike was going on, like, right around February 13, you know, and a little bit after that. So, hopefully it's getting better. There is a website, that nowinstock.net. Have you seen that?
No, I've never heard of that one.
I looked there, and they specifically have, like, some of the big ones are Amiibo, the new 3DS, and also that Majora's Mask Special Edition.
Nice.
And so you can just click on it, and it'll tell you, hey, where it's in stock, what models are in stock, where it is. So it looks like for the new 3DS, the black one is in stock at Best Buy, Walmart, and GameStop. And the red one is also in stock at pretty much all those as well. The only one that still is not in stock is the Majora's Mask Edition.
I doubt they're going to make any new ones of those.
Yeah, I think it was just purely limited, and I doubt they're going to be refreshing any of that.
Or if they do, they're going to just send five to like the Nintendo World Store.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. I'm glad I was able to pick one up on launch day. My store only had two of them, the Zelda one.
Right. Do you feel like that might have been choking them a little bit? Or, well, I mean, I guess because of the harbor strike and all that.
Right.
But, you know, like I said, they've done this before. And Amiibos is one thing, but, like, these are just major systems now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even the handhelds, they're major systems. You need to push those out there because you still need consumer confidence. You need to build that up. So if you put them in scarcity, yeah, you could say, you know, oh, hey, we sold 90% of what we shipped. You know, and that's great news. But if you shipped, like,
200,000.
Yeah, if you only shipped, like, 2,000, then congratulations, you only have, what's the math on that, like, 1,600 in the market?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I hope they remedy some of the stock issues. And like, most of the Amiibo that I wanted weren't really rare anyway. Like Mario, they produced a ton of him, and Link, they produced a ton of him. I think Link, they said, was the highest selling across the world.
Yeah, it beat Mario, which was kind of surprising.
Yeah. The other one I would like to get is Bowser. Because I do like the detail on his figure, the Smash Brothers one. The Mario one is a little different, but I would like to eventually just get the Bowser one.
Yeah, I was surprised you don't have Bowser already. Like, that was like not the first one that you grabbed.
Well, it didn't come out until he was in Wave 3, which just came out like in early February or late January or something.
Right.
I think he's just recently come out, but. I'll have to pick him up at some point.
I think they should come out with the, I don't know, maybe Japan hasn't, we don't. The, do you remember that new 3DS commercial that Japan came out with? Where all, like, the Mario characters or whatever had, like, had these, like, weird, like, game show-esque, like, costumes or whatever. Like, Link was in the top hat, and, like, Bowser had, like, this greasy hair.
Yeah. We'll get the greasy hair Bowser amiibo.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. I would think about buying that if that came out.
You could probably, some of those places that are customizing amiibo, that you could probably get them to make you one.
Yeah, that's true. That was a unique and interesting market that kind of came out of all this.
Yeah.
Are those custom amiibos. I saw them floating around like the internet every once in a while, like, oh, hey, it's Link, but he's got a blue tunic, or, you know, this is Mario, but he's got his, Nintendo golf outfit.
Yeah, they're doing some more advanced ones, too, like, what was one of the, someone did a, oh yeah, like a Penguin Mario, that one's interesting. Someone did a Deku Link out of the Toon Link one. That's interesting.
Well, you'll have to send me a link to that one, because I want to see how they worked that out.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of them. They're all very, like, extremely detailed, or, you know.
Yeah. There's some fun ones in there. There's one that's a Toon Link, but it's Midna.
Oh, nice. Oh, okay, here's the Deku one.
Yeah. The blue Luigi looks cool. There's a cool Captain Falcon Punch one where they added a bunch of, like, fire effects around them.
Wow, that's something else.
Yeah.
Clear Mario, Gold Mario. See, you can go to one of these amiibo places and get your own Gold Mario. How about that?
There you go. For probably a lot cheaper than what the scalpers are charging.
Yeah, I guarantee it's not going to be $200 or $500. Yeah. I've seen a few of those.
Yeah. I do like some of the Black Samus, doing like a Dark Samus.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Some of those are fun. They've done a Raichu, Pikachu one. Oh, someone did a Yarn Yoshi one. That's fun.
And for those of you listening, we'll have a link to the article that Justin's talking about. That way you can take a look at it as well.
Yeah, it's this little custom amiibo Tumblr. It just has pictures of a bunch of them that have been created out there. I think the craze started with, like, Disney Infinity and Skylanders. Mm-hmm. There was eventually some little, you know, groups that popped up that were customizing the Skylanders and Disney Infinity characters and the now amiibo. So.
Either way, you know, that looks pretty neat. Something really, really cool to come out of this, I think.
Yeah, and you know, I could see myself, like, if I found, like, a really cool design, I could be like, yeah, I'd spend $25 or $30 for something like that. You know, just to say, hey, I've got something really unique, you know, because all the amiibos right now, it's like, oh, I've got a Mario amiibo that 2 million other people have, you know.
That's definitely true. I don't know if it's 200 million people. I'm pretty sure it's like somewhere like 200 with all these stocks.
That's true.
But you think they're going to continue to sell just as strong all the way through? Like, how long do you see this lasting?
Oh, amiibo?
Yeah.
I think they're in it for the long haul. I'm hoping that as they go, they'll be able to, I don't know, upgrade them somehow. Like, one of the things that concerned me is it looks like you can only sync up a character with one game at a time. Because I think they said, like, if you had, like, a Smash Brothers amiibo and you had, like, maybe he was level 50 on Smash Brothers. If you want to use him in Mario Party 10, you have to delete his data in order to use him there. So I wonder if it's just because Mario Party 10 uses a lot more data on the NFC chip, or, you know, how that all works. But I'm hoping that as they keep going, that, I don't know, you can somehow extend them, or, I don't know, you know, there's a Gen 2 or something where you can, you know, sync it up with multiple titles. I don't know, but right now, it just seems very limited.
And if I remember right, they're also going to come out with these cards too.
Yes.
These amiibo cards. Do you think that's going to increase like the rarity of like the figures? Like, you think they're going to start downsizing the figures in order to make room for the cards?
I think they'll still keep the figures going. I think the cards is it's like a nice way to, hey, those people that want that downloadable content or to get access to the stuff the amiibos give them, they can maybe buy like a deck of cards for $5 and it has five amiibo in there, amiibo cards. And then it's like, hey, if you don't want to buy the figurines, completely understand, but you still want to be able to use the Kirby power up when you're playing Kirby and the Rainbow Curse, here's a pack that has Meta Knight Kirby. And I could see them, making some decent money from stuff like that, where people are like, okay, yeah, I'll give you an extra $5 to play some of this extra content. Cool.
Right.
But, oh, you know what I was just thinking? You remember I think we may have talked about this before. But I think they're going to have a hard time if they try to do more Pokemon amiibo.
Right.
But you know what? If they did Pokemon as the cards, like a crossover between the Pokemon trading card game and the Pokemon games, then you could do that fairly easily. You could get like a deck of cards that had like, 50 Pokemon in it. And you've got access to, using them in the game and, having data stored on them or whatever. That could be very interesting.
That would be good to integrate with any future Pokemon titles that they have on the new 3DS.
Yeah, and it could potentially be like cross-platform. They could, someone could, sync it up on their 3DS, sync up the same card on the Wii U and play, in some new 3D Pokemon game. Which they'd be silly to not do some sort of a Pokemon Stadium or something on the Wii U eventually. Or the next console.
I think they say that every generation.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I've been saying that for a while.
This is the one, a 3D Pokemon game on a console.
Yeah.
Nope, it's never gonna happen.
Yeah. Well, it's true the creator, not the creator, but like the producer of Pokemon. He said something to the effect that he's like, Pokemon is perfectly suited for a portable system. And he's like, until the console can provide some sort of experience like that, the main Pokemon games will always be on handhelds. So, but you saw you heard hear his qualification, unless the consoles provide some sort of a handheld experience. Now, if Nintendo eventually with their next system has some sort of a hybrid where you can play on the system at home and play on the go, I mean, then at that point the new Pokemon game is on the new handheld and on the new console as well. We'll see.
Yeah, well,
Wishful
definitely.
thinking.
And on that wishful thought, I'm going to go ahead and put a close to this Koopa cast.
Sounds good.
So I want to thank you, Justin, for coming on and talking to me.
Yeah.
And I want to thank our viewers for watching yet another Koopa cast. If you want to watch more, you can always check out our archive at purenintendo.com/koopacast. If you want to get a hold of us on Twitter, we love having new Twitter followers. Our handles are also listed on purenintendo.com. I am purely underscore Matt. You can actually see it in our little name tags that we have on the bottom. Justin's is purely underscore Justin. And if you have any questions or comments, leave it on the comment sheet below on purenintendo.com. You can see our little posts. You can leave a comment below there. You can always email podcast@purenintendo.com. And ask your question there. So until then, we will see you all in 2 weeks.